Hello, one and all, and welcome to another day here at the Damage Report. A Friday, which is our fun day to the extent that it can be. It's also, and this is the second of three important things about today, it's also the day in which we're joined by Brett Ehrlich. Brett, thank you for being here.
Shaboy, Brett. It's your boy. What up, gamers? We're here to throw down hip hop, bebop, dance till we drop, and yo yo, make a wicked cup of cocoa. And that's really the most important thing that'll happen today. Today I'm sporting my father's hair for some reason. I don't know how, but I've got this poofy cave, as I used to call it. So if you're looking to get the news analyzed to you by a guy who was like a jock in the 60s and then went like became a salesman, I got it. You got it.
Thank you. I'm glad. I had been waiting for that. That's the thing that I always thought our show is lacking. What we won't be lacking later today is garbage and chores related to those garbage. We will be throwing away our garbage people of the week, and I've got a particularly petty one, which is honestly my favorite kind. But forget about all that for right now, because we've got important business to attend to before we dive into our full show. And that is that, did you all know that today is a very special day? It is in fact an anniversary, the second anniversary, in fact, of the Dragon Squad. 2 years ago, we came together. I'm not entirely sure why initially, but it did work out in the end. And through some fun names and some awesome t-shirts and a general sense of camaraderie, we have stuck together like the family in Arrested Development. And we've now got a new mascot, which you can see if we go to the split shot, you'll see Brett is now an avatar of the Dragon Squad, or something at least.
Hornsy.
He's a dragon with a dragon on the inside. Hornsy.
Yes. Yeah, I'm Hornsy, baby. Yeah.
As always, he's Hornsy. Wonderful. But anyway, Natural One Dragon just decided apparently to celebrate the anniversary by gifting 5 memberships over on YouTube. Thank you for that. Big Bopey, you can in fact be Nasty Ho Dragon, I guess.
Ain't no law.
But anyway, on July 9th, way back in 2020, remember back in the pandemic, we came up with the concept of the Dragon Squad. And then that would have been it, except you made sure that it was not. And you've kept it going. And it's been so much fun, and it's kept us together, and we've really loved it. So in honor of the anniversary, we not only have, togetherness and all that, we have something special. So on Shop TYT, a new dragon has been rolled out. It is the gold dragon. Do we have a, we do. The gold dragon, known for their graceful and wise nature, gold dragons are relentless and dedicated in their fight against evil, injustice, and foul play. The gold dragon definitely would be the progressive of the of those dragons. And how cool, I like it. I want to get one. I don't have one yet, but
it's
but I
gorgeous. And it looks like, what didn't Tyrion Lannister offer to pay people in gold dragons?
I do think that's what their currency was. Yes.
Well, regardless, John, there might be currency in Westeros, but the Dragon Squad is priceless. And so happy squadiversary.
Is that a dragon roll?
It's a dragon roll. Happy Dragon's Day to John.
No, not to
Happy
me.
Happy Squad's
us.
Day to Sophie. Happy Dope Day to Mark, Marisa, Norma, and whoever's editing today. Happy Squadiversary to you. Blow it out, John. Wow, how did you do that?
It took a bit because it had to travel miles, but it got there. Thank you. That's a great gesture. Literally, the only thing that would have made that better would be for me to now be able to eat that dragon roll. So alas, but
that's on you, homie.
This would have been so special for me. He eats sushi for breakfast like 4 times a week. Anyway,
I already had breakfast. Anyway, I had lox, bagels, cream cheese. You know,
you've eaten a lot of sea life for breakfast. Anyway, thank you everyone. If you're a part of Dragon Squad, if you're not, but you still watch, I know a lot of people have kept their names from before they became draconic. I get it. We'll get you one day. But anyway, thank you all. It is obviously like we started in difficult times, And I think we can all agree that while there have been some improvements, we got rid of Trump and everything, still rough. Still rough. So glad to have you all. Thank you for being here. And with that, with renewed draconic vigor, we're going to launch into the next 2 years of the Dragon Squad. And we're going to hope and pray that with the combined power of the red dragons, the blue dragons, the gold dragons, the rainbow dragons, maybe in 2 years things will be better. Maybe everything will be great and we can just like chill and like talk about like shows we like or something. Mm. Won't that be an amazing future? But for now though, Brett, we do have a lot of news to talk about. If you're here for the full show, of course, we will be throwing away our garbage people of the week. So stay tuned for that. And please hit the like button, share the stream, all that stuff. Send us messages, we will reply. If you want to send us a comment or a tweet about what Dragon Squad has meant to you, I would love to read some of those during the break. And with all that said, Brett, are you ready to do this thing?
I am ready. Thank you for asking first. You have my enthusiastic consent.
Consent is important in co-hostery. Okay, with that, let's jump into this thing. Shaking up his Senate race, Herschel Walker is facing the first bad news, the first scandal he's ever faced. No, but there's this new write-up on Daily Beast that is just amazing to see what people who have chosen to work for this candidate are saying about him, albeit anonymously at this point. But you can take a look at the article. It's Herschel Walker lied about his secret kids to his own campaign. Now, you already know about the details of that, right? That's actually not what's so fascinating about this article. Now, they do go in depth into the timeline of behind the scenes, him apparently continually reassuring his own closest aides and staff that he was not concealing any more children from them before, oopsie doopsie, he was. And so he had to admit that he had lied to them. In many cases, after they had already gone out to bat for him, making statements about how he was telling the truth. And it just keeps happening over and over and over again. But at the end of the day, we mostly know about that. And of all of the issues with Herschel Walker, I think that however many children he has, that's like literally the least of my concerns. Far more concerning is what his aides actually now think of him. And they are becoming increasingly open and free about talking about it. And we have to dive into this because some of these quotes are amazing. So the Daily Beast says, with some great reporting, emails and texts show advisors discussing how they don't trust Walker, both to tell the truth to them and to handle campaign events properly, and harboring concerns that he isn't mentally fit for the job. He spouts falsehoods, quote, like he's breathing, this advisor said, which he needs to make a conscious effort to continue to do. So much so that his own campaign stopped believing him long ago. They say he's lied so much that we don't know what's true. They aid that they have zero trust in him. And three different people interviewed for the article independently called him a pathological liar. Now, notably, as with other high-ranking pathological liars like Donald Trump, it is great to have these quotes. It is great to have these sources, Brett. It would be better if they identified themselves. It'd be better if people didn't want to work for a person that they thought might be a disaster were they to win. And we have a lot more that we have to get into from this article. Some great quotes, but what do you make of this?
Herschel Walker is a nightmare. Like the Republicans, this is the only time I really believe in the deep state. It's that Republicans are selecting candidates in what should be easy breezy, beautiful campaigns where they saunter into office. But the Republicans seem to be choosing the absolute worst horses to back. Like they had Roy Moore, they went for Warnock and and Loeffler. Leffler, whatever her name is pronounced as, and they've got Herschel Walker here. When it comes to this write-up, like who even needs it? Purdue and Loeffler, who needs it? This guy with his "I am a family man of the Lord" story, and then it's revealed that he has more kids out of wedlock than Elon Musk. It's a nightmare. This is a guy who went on TV and said, "I might be one or two words off. I didn't know, so I called my mom to ask her if there were any people alive now who were alive during slavery." He said that on a TV show. She boy has freaking dissociative identity disorder. So it might be that the staffers don't understand that. That's an incurable but treatable disease that can last, you know, years to your entire life, where you have multiple distinct personalities and you get memory loss. So maybe he's not lying. Maybe like he's psychologically inventing it, but at a time when any other mental health disorder is just chucked into the dustbin of uncared about nonsense by the Republican Party, they're going to say this guy should be the next senator from his state? No.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And look, nobody should be, you know, ostracized like for having these conditions. People have these conditions. I think that we should talk more about it. And it doesn't mean that people couldn't, in theory, you know, hold office. He clearly is not qualified for it. And who knows to what extent it has anything to do with the dissociated identity disorder. I don't know. Maybe it's totally separate from that. Maybe the fact that he doesn't seem to know anything about anything and he can't seem to tell the truth about questions of substance, questions of his own history, the crimes he might or might not have committed. Maybe none of that has anything to do with that. I don't know. Maybe it's that he got hit on the head a lot. Maybe he's just a big old liar like a lot of politicians. And any one of these individual things, in theory, could disqualify a person. You might or might not think in this case that it should, but this is a mountain of different issues. And not just for us, people who have no interest in him, surely for, you know, politics and for a lot of other reasons, his own staff. And so I want to give you more of what they had to say. Because their issue isn't just that he's personally a liar, it's that he is making their own job very difficult to do. They said that the operation for months has been at the mercy of a volatile, deceitful candidate, quote, a campaign's worst nightmare. It's like an S show on a train in the middle of a wreck. That is the perfect storm, I believe.
There are also bad writers on his campaign.
The metaphors got muddled there, but they have ridiculed his intelligence. They fear his mood swings and instability. Staffers worry he could embarrass himself at any moment. Setting the campaign back yet again and burning energy on damage control that they would have to do. The overriding concern that they have is that the stress and pressures of campaigning, criticism and backlash in particular, might make him, quote, just not mentally stable. And see, even here where they're admitting so many problems with him, they are implying that it might not make him mentally stable when it is clear that that is a long established truth. And by the way, again, all the lies and all that stuff isn't just about the kids. I will remind you, in case you don't know about the early chapters in this crazy book, he has claimed that he was a trained FBI agent and worked for law enforcement, which isn't true. He has told a preposterous series of lies about his academic record, that eventually things had to be scrubbed from his official bio over it. He's overstated his business success. He's taken credit for founding a veteran support program he didn't do. He claimed that former President Donald Trump has never said the 2020 election was stolen when Trump was probably busy making that claim while Herschel Walker was denying it. And he's certainly done it a lot since. And the aides are saying the weirdest part of the story, perhaps, is that all of those things I just listed about the FBI and about the jobs and about Trump and all that stuff, that has not necessarily helped Herschel Walker in the eyes of independents or whatever, but it has perhaps shielded him from more serious, sustained concern about the core issues, which are not about individual lies or exaggerations, but about fundamentally if he has the intellectual, emotional, the psychological capacity to take care of himself, let alone an entire state. And so it's sort of helped him that there's been all these random things. It's kind of a little bit, Brett, like the Trump thing, where the individual scandals aren't as significant as the core issues with this person.
Right, but they yield scandals, and much like any sickness, it has symptoms. Like this is, it's so funny to me that people on the right always say that, no, these Democrats, they're all paid actors, and really there's something horrible going on behind the scenes. When really, when choosing a candidate, the Republican Party just goes and finds people who have like name recognition, fine, but usually you want your performer to be able to perform. And there, I mean, the internet, you just have to go do a quick search of like Herschel Walker's worst moments. And the guy is a disaster. And really the question is, in today's polarized electorate, does it matter that the person that they would have to vote for is this big of a train wreck off the rails in the night during a plane crash? Or are they just so desperately in need of that vote to swing the Senate back to the Republican side that people are willing to just ignore it? And luckily, with cases like Roy Moore, Perdue, and Loeffler, the electorate has said, no, this is a bridge too far. This guy's crazy. But the difference this go around is that the Democrats have the White House, and that is just might be enough of a headwind to get Herschel Walker elected to the Senate.
Well, and we're going to dive briefly into the evidence of whether that might happen in just a sec. But, you know, following the revelation from so many of his aides, apparently, that Herschel Walker is a massive liar, that they consider him a massive liar, that they don't think he's capable of serving in office, that they're worried that he's going to tank the campaign. Well, let's figure out now how the next steps might affect his campaign. He still has to, you know, appear places. They have a strategy, by the way, which is keep him off of TV. Try to keep him on script. That's damn near impossible, according to them. And you can read the Daily Beast article about it. He doesn't listen to them, apparently. And here's what they have to say about his ability to conduct literally any interviews in any venue. He screws up on Fox News where people agree with him. So the idea of him taking an adverse interview or interacting with people who don't agree with him is a non-starter. They liken the prospect to sending him into the lion's den. And the thing is, you know, traditionally in these sorts of races, eventually you have to interact with at least one person, which would be the person you're running against. And as of right now, I find this impossible to believe that it'll happen, but they have three debates planned where Herschel, like whatever is left of Herschel Walker, will have to debate Raphael Warnock. The team wants to reduce it to one, and they want there to be strict requirements. I don't know that like it's filmed asynchronously. I don't know what they could set up that would protect him sufficiently. But anyway, that's basically what we're going to have. He's not really going to do any sort of confrontational interviews or anything. There might be 1 to 3 debates, Brett. And we're going to give people the recent polling in a sec. But if we have a debate, what do you think is going to happen?
Typically what ends up happening is, well, I don't know. Like, I was nervous about, this is so crazy. Like, Dianne Feinstein, Joe Biden, and Herschel Walker walk into the Capitol building. Like, you just have people whose mental capacities are as have as much structural integrity as wet toilet paper. And I'd love to see them all filibuster. I'd just be like, no, go ahead, you talk and embarrass yourself. And it's sad that it comes to that because everyone, you know, in a time when people on the right wing are saying like, there's stuff I'm afraid to say, like, I'm afraid to say like Herschel Walker, man, the guy can't keep a sentence together. He can't get a sentence out. But if they do have a debate, usually what happens is he needs to be in the lead to comfortably say that I'm not going to debate. That's typically what happens. You get a lead and then you minimize the number of debates. But polling is not backing that up. You've got a reverend, you got a man of the Lord who actually walks and talks the scriptures versus a guy who his last name's Walker and he can barely talk.
I see what you did there. Now, to be fair, before we dive into our last evidence, I want to give a response from the Herschel Walker campaign. Scott Paradise, who's his campaign manager, said, this is pure gossip with anonymous sources from a left-leaning publication who has been obsessed with Herschel and his family. His team is 100% committed to getting Herschel elected to the Senate. So sure, it is possible that the Daily Beast just made it all up. They made up the sources. I don't think that happened. I think that there are sources in the campaign. We can, you know, we can debate how senior they are or whatever. But interesting note, Scott Paradise, the guy who just said that, who's like, this is all lies. They in the article, if you read it, he was the guy, and we read this quote on the show a month or so ago, that came out after the first of the secret children came out. And he was like, okay, so fine, they found one. He was only not releasing it because he didn't want to take him on the campaign trail. Scott Paradise had been lied to by Herschel Walker already. He was then lied to about other hidden children. So give him credit, at least, not for integrity or anything, but he is at least, he has stick-to-itiveness. Loyalty to the candidate who repeatedly lies to him to his face. That's Scott Paradise. Nice job, buddy. Anyway, some donors have apparently been fleeing Herschel Walker. The founder of Home Depot, Bernie Marcus, donated like $1 million to him. He's apparently done. He thinks it's too embarrassing, but it's over the kids, which seems like the dumbest reason to pull out as a supporter, whatever. Anyway, this could hurt him a little bit financially and he'll need that money. But most importantly, I was curious to see what polling do we have. And look, keeping it real, not enough and not recent enough. But if you look at the last few polls over the last few months, Warnock is doing significantly better than he was back before Herschel Walker started getting talked about a lot. And so look, do not rest on your laurels. If you live in Georgia, organize and donate, because we cannot have Herschel Walker in the Senate, but things are looking a little bit better perhaps.
But that's that. I mean, look at the dates. The ones that have Walker remotely in the lead was anywhere between January and April. And the ones that are done recently are either a tie or plus five. And that's a Quinnipiac poll. Like, that's no poll to sneeze at.
Yeah.
I believe it. Yeah, the Georgians, maybe. The Georgians, what they do is they either are, you know, Stacey Abrams has a lot of people like actively advocating for get out the vote campaigns that have created turnout. And they're doing it to protect Georgia, right? And then what ends up happening with like the righteous gemstones in you know, Georgia, when they see someone who is not being holy and they haven't apologized and it just gets worse and worse, they just stay home.
Yeah, it's possible. We'll see. I mean, look, people from inside of the campaign apparently like it's too late probably. They should get them to pull out. They should have a write-in candidacy for someone who's probably also awful and probably also not really qualified. But this
well,
is what
John,
it's. But
if there's one thing we've learned as a result of these Herschel Walker illegitimate children campaign scandals, it's that my man does not like to pull out.
On an anniversary, Brat. On an anniversary. Anyway. Yep. Okay, with that said, we're gonna take our first break. We're gonna take a shower or something. And then when we come back, we have some really serious news to jump into. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a few. Northern Ice Dragon says, when I first subscribed and called John a light in the dark, he chewed me out for calling him that. I think he's finally understood just how much he and other progressives mean. Well, thank you. I chewed you out. That doesn't seem like me. And the fact that you would say that to me, that you would imply that, sully my name, be gone from the chat, sir.
You're doing it again, John. You're chewing them out.
History hath repeated itself. Anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you for being here. It's nice to have an anniversary. I feel like I have another one that I should probably remember. I don't know. The Dragon Squad one's the important one. Anyway, Sophie's getting annoyed. So with that, let's jump into serious news. In the most shocking, perhaps, news of at least the past few months, the former leader of Japan, Shinzo Abe, was successfully assassinated. Devastating that late last night, the news came out that he had been shot, which is shocking not only because he's a former world leader, that he is in Japan, a country that has a very significant gun control laws, but that eventually the news broke hours later that he had passed as a result of it. He was most recently in office from December 2012 to September of 2020, was Japan's longest serving prime minister and resigned in 2020 for health reasons, but remained influential in politics. And in fact, he was shot at a sort of campaign speech. He had been appearing in public and giving a speech when he was attacked outside of a train station. Security officials were seen tackling a man in a gray t-shirt and beige trousers. He has since been identified as an unemployed 41-year-old. He admitted to doing it, and we are still trying to figure out what the motivation was. They say at this point that he believed Abe was part of a specific organization, which the individual had a grudge against, but we don't know what organization that's supposed to be a part of. The other, of course, important question is how exactly he managed to do this when, as we said, Japan has very severe gun control laws. Well, Apparently, police have confiscated several homemade weapons from a search of his house. They described the weapon that he used as being 40 centimeters long, 20 centimeters high, but also implied that they were treating it with caution due to the possibility of a detonation. And in fact, when we go to this picture, you'll see that it is in fact apparently something that was cobbled together, a homemade weapon. You can see in this shot. And we have a few actually of the weapon, I believe. Do we have that? Okay, well, we'll go to if we do. Anyway, police said that the firearm consists of two metal barrels attached to a wooden board more than a foot long. And why would someone go to the trouble of making their own weapon? Well, Japan's gun ownership restrictions do not allow private citizens to have handguns, and licensed hunters may own only rifles. Now, we definitely have to get into that angle of it, but you know, Brett, like having a former world leader even successfully being assassinated is not something that happens often. It's a tragedy, I know, for a lot of people in that country and internationally. We're gonna give some of the reactions, but what do you think?
It's just shocking because gun violence in Japan is so insanely rare. Like if you watch the video that has surfaced, there's multiple videos of the actual event from different ones from like a bird's eye view, but there's another one from street level. Mm-hmm. It's a giant explosion is the sound. It's more of like a combination of a gunshot and then like the bursting of a trash bag, like a lot of air exploding at once. And no one there thinks it's gunshots because you live in a country, everyone's just kind of looking around and then they realize what happens with the second one and then he falls. But it's tough in these situations. Like Shinzo Abe, someone who has, when you look at the, you know, I read the New York Times obituary, I'm by no means an expert on Shinzo and Abenomics, but I am, he called himself, you know, the party is a more right, it's more nationalist. But he invested in a lot of public works, essentially, like a bunch of investment from the, you know, government in government spending, essentially, to kind of help the economy, which was not in good shape when he took over. But like, it's just one of those things where whoever is going, you can't just assassinate a politician, especially not in a country like Japan. This guy did it. He just said, yeah, I did it. And it's just the situation following it when you're learning specifics about his admission. Sure. And you don't really know exactly why he did it. You just know that he did it and then he owed up to it and then yeah. Abe's gone.
Yeah, and I'm seeing like super chats that are coming in about, you know, things that people disagree with him on. I get that. He was just assassinated. That's what I'll say. You can't assassinate, like even if you disagree with someone, you can't assassinate. We are against political violence in every single case. We are very clear about that. It's not an opportunistic thing for us. It's unacceptable. It's very rare, obviously, especially there, as Brett was talking about. And in fact, I want to give people stats. There were 10 shootings in Japan in 2021. I would bet every dollar that I have that there have been 10 shootings in America during this episode of the Damage Report. Mm-hmm. They had 10 in a year. One person was killed, 4 people were injured. And the majority of the shootings each year are linked to Japanese organized crime. And even that means 6 or 7, I guess, even for organized crime there. That is how rare it is. And we've gone over how strenuous their gun control is. People are talking about in the chat as well. You have to literally explain why it is that you want a firearm. You have to, as people are saying, describe where it is held and all of that. And as a result of that, you don't have shootings like this very often at all. Now, I have no doubt the right wing is using the fact that someone was able to effectively make an explosive device that could propel a projectile, that is a thing that you will never be able to stop people from doing, that thus, why bother? What's the point? The fact that Japan has probably, thanks to their gun control laws, saved what, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of their own citizens over decades, will be ignored because of this tragedy. But yeah, it's devastating. Yep. We can give some comments. President Biden sent out a message saying, I'm stunned, outraged, and deeply saddened. He was shot and killed. He was a champion of the friendship between our people. The United States stands with Japan in this moment of grief. By the way, even Donald Trump put out a statement on Truth Social about, it was the normal deranged Trump talk, but it was positive towards Abe and he was sad that it happened. Barack Obama tweeted, I am shocked and saddened by the assassination of my friend and longtime partner Shinzo Abe in Japan. Former Prime Minister Abe was devoted to both the country. He served in the extraordinary alliance between the United States and Japan. And the Secretary General of the United Nations put out basically a similar comment as well. It's just, it's the sort of thing that you just do, this does not happen every year. This does not happen every 5 years. It is shocking. And whether we agree with his individual politics or his ideology overall, it's a, you know, it's a tragedy.
So sad.
Okay, with that, we're going to read just a couple of your comments, do a little reset, and then move on to our C block. Let's see, Flonk Sauce Dragon sent in a thank you emote. Thank you, but appreciate that. Florida Dragon sent in a super chat to say happy squadiversary. Thanks for keeping us all sane and entertained. I do appreciate that. Jeff Raywell Stewart says, this is probably the wrong target market, but I want my dragon name to be Dragon the Crispy. That like a Krispy Kreme? Is that like a...
I think when you breathe fire on something, you burn it to a crisp, perhaps.
That's probably what it is. Unrelated then, my friend and I got Krispy Kreme when we were in Knoxville. And I ordered a donut and he ordered a big old box of donuts that was just filled with donuts. And I woke up the next morning and I went to his kitchen. He wasn't awake yet and I ate one of the donuts. And then I realized that what am I trying for at this point? And I ate two more of the donuts standing there. Anyway, with that said, let's move on to our next topic. Even with the fact that many instances of police brutality, mistreatment, harassment are visible either on body camera footage or by citizens using their cell phones, even that fact does not mean that we get justice in the vast majority of these cases. But even so, man, they really don't like it when you film them. And your right to do so is already starting to evaporate. A new bill was just signed into law in Arizona on Wednesday that will make it illegal to take video of police within 8 feet of them. It states specifically, it is unlawful for a person to knowingly make a video recording of law enforcement activity if the person making the video recording is within 8 feet of where the person knows or reasonably should know that law enforcement activity is occurring. And if you do record police within 8 feet, you can face a misdemeanor charge after they're warned once to back up. Now, as I said in our production meeting this morning, this is scary. I get it. A lot of people are gonna be worried about this. But the good thing about it is that cops are now bound by this 8-foot thing. And if you are more than 8 feet away, they would never abuse this. They would never try to stop you from exercising your rights so long as you're 8 feet away, Brett. So it's bad, but I guess it could be worse because as long as you're 8 feet away, you'll be fine.
No, how many of these interactions with traffic stops are filmed by the person being stopped in the traffic stop? That means you can't now, have a-
we will get to the, there are some exceptions, including if you're the individual person, we will get to that. But we know that a lot of these are a friend of the person who's being detained or attacked or whatever, a bystander who comes across it. My point being, they're not gonna care about the 8 foot. There's no sensor on the camera that like afterward can be like given to the court that, this confirms I was 9 feet away at the point. They're gonna use this to stop. They already try to stop all filming even without this law. They are going to take this and they're gonna run with it.
Right, and what's to stop the police officer from just walking up to you and closing the distance between where you're filming, especially in an incident where there's multiple cops that have reported to the scene or a partner that is going to essentially box you out. That's exactly what's gonna happen. And listen, I don't understand why they wouldn't be for more evidence. There's a difference. There's gotta already be, and I hate when I speculate like this, but there's gotta already be some kind of ordinance regulation in place for essentially, I don't know, it's very stupid. There's gotta be some ordinance in place that if you are actually interfering with the cops as they're trying to do whatever they're doing, you get in trouble for that. Like if you take your camera and you put it up in the cop's face and you touch the cop, like that's already illegal. And I understand like there's situations where people swarm all the time around cops. And there is I see so many videos on public freakout that are just trying to get famous and are kind of involving themselves in something that doesn't have anything to do with them, where nothing obviously is going wrong, but they're like, I should be able to film anyway. That is an issue, but it is its solution is not this.
No, this is, and look, I know some people are saying like, how could this possibly be constitutional? Well, what does that have to do with anything? these days. What is it? Constitutional? What are you even talking about? They got a supermajority. They don't care. You're right. There are some cases in which theoretically a person could be interfering. There are also a lot of cases where the cops are beating the hell out of someone or killing them and need to be filmed. This personally, like, I'm not gonna do this, obviously, but I imagine selling phone cases that just have a 9-foot tape measure. But again, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Originally, this was supposed to be 15 feet, and then they compromised. They brought it down to 8. It doesn't matter. They're not gonna let you film. They're gonna get in your face. They're gonna assault you. They're gonna do that. Now, I wanna give more details just in case. The law applies to situations in which a police officer is questioning a suspicious person, conducting an arrest, issuing a summons, or enforcing the law, and handling an emotionally disturbed person who is exhibiting abnormal behavior. So everything is the situations. And here are the exceptions. It makes exceptions for police activity on private property in which the person who is recording is authorized to be on the property, but specify that an officer can order the person recording to leave the area if the law enforcement officer determines that the person is interfering in the law enforcement activity. Well, thankfully that's very specific. So again, that couldn't be abused. The law also says that a person who is the subject of police activity can record as long as they're not being handcuffed, searched, or subjected to a field sobriety test. And people in a vehicle that has been stopped by police can record if the occupants are not interfering. Again, they will determine what counts as interfering. And even if you're the person being interfered with, now that they know they're allowed to stop you from recording if they're doing one of those three things, do you think they might just start to do those things? Again, this is not just ripe for abuse, it's designed for abuse. That is the entire purpose of it.
But we compromised on the number of feet, and all we did in response is say where you should reasonably know that law enforcement activity is happening, or if any of the things that you probably should be filming cops to make sure they're not messing up with, if any of those things are happening, we still get that in our compromise situation. It just went from 15 to 8 feet.
Yeah.
Like that, just specifically, consider reasonably expect law enforcement activity to be happening. Like that, I'm being reasonable without any training, but you police officers are probably gonna tell me actually it's reasonable in this 50-foot radius to expect that someone else from police, a law enforcement's gonna be here.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous. Matthias is saying a super chat, so they can arrest journalists. Well, look, in advance of this, a lot of those organizations that stick up for First Amendment journalistic rights, they were pointing that out. Yeah, they don't want to be filmed. Like the answer from a reasonable person has always been and should always be stop doing things that would be really damaging to you if the footage came out. But that apparently is too much to ask of them. And so instead, they would rather shred the Constitution. They would rather throw people in jail rather than just stop breaking the law themselves. Anyway, with that said, we are going to take our last break of the hour. When we come back, Dr. Oz makes a fool of himself. Trump is like apparently backing off of yet another one of his ventures. So we'll have the details about that and more after this.
The Dragon Boy.
He's developing more of the lyrics. I think we're getting towards the first draft. Anyway, with that, let's dive into another insane candidate with this.
These radical left-wing politicians advocate for criminals first. They want shorter sentences for dangerous criminals, sanctuary cities to be a safe haven for criminal illegal immigrants, and cashless bail. I'm not into it.
Yeah, well, of course, he's not a fan of that. He's a rich person and he can always use his economic means to get out of justice. Regular people that are held for no reason for long periods of time because of their inability to pay would not be a big concern of his. But what you saw in that video was Dr. Oz, candidate for Senate in Pennsylvania, notably, delivering lines half-heartedly. He doesn't really know about this stuff. He doesn't really care. He just for some reason wants to be a senator. What he said, though, is not what's important about that video. What is important about that video isn't even the candidate. What is important about the video is the background, because it revealed something interesting. And that was identified by the man he's running against, John Fetterman, in this tweet. Pro tip, don't fill an ad for your PA Senate campaign from your mansion in New Jersey. And he's kind of on to something, because if you go to this next graphic, Insider did a little bit of detective work, and the shelf and that little statue thing sure does seem like it comes from promotional photos of a tour of that mansion in People magazine back in 2020. And how is this possible that he would be filming this from a mansion he owns in a different state? Oh, because he doesn't really live in Pennsylvania. He's running there, but he has no real connection to the state. He doesn't live there. And he apparently, even while actively campaigning, doesn't bother to actually live in the state. So anyway, a lot of people are having fun with this. Bill Pascrell Jr. says, let me thank my North Jersey constituent, Dr. Oz, for cutting his Pennsylvania campaign ads right in our North Jersey district. These commercials help showcase our beautiful Garden State. I love that. And John Fetterman, who either he himself or his team, not that bad with the memes, tweeted, tough out there for a simp with the office meme of Dr. Oz's new campaign video and Dr. Oz's King George Mansion in New Jersey. They're the same picture. You gotta love it. Dr. He's barely even trying. And it might hurt him in the end. We'll get into the polls again as we did with Herschel Walker, Brett, but what do you make of this?
Just a quick reminder of the other burns Fetterman did. There was another tone deaf, nails on a chalkboard, fake attempt by Dr. Oz to appeal to blue collar workers. And so Dr. Oz put on a hard hat and got in a track in a bulldozer or a crane or something. And Fetterman retweeted a photo of a child's tractor toy and a little baby inside it, kind of just devastating. And so it looked like Oz tried to take that lesson. And he's like, listen, we're not going to go outside. We're not going to be pretending to be someone we're not. And what's amazing about this, that every Pennsylvanian needs to appreciate and understand, which they probably do on an instinctive level, Dr. Oz in reality is not a genuine person. He's lying about every position. And B, he's not a Pennsylvanian.
Yeah.
He really is from another state. He's a carpetbagger trying to take from you anything he can get. And luckily, he's a doctor, because at least then he has some medical experience to handle all these sick burns he's getting from Fetterman.
He should probably put a salve on that or something. Anyway, they're trying to explain away that no, it's that he's got renovations going on in a house. And so he's doing a thing over there. But for some reason, he's not even there. He's all the way in a different state. But
how crazy is that? That's their spin on it, is the guy was in his second home because his other residence is getting renovated. Tell me more. Tell me what you're putting into that house.
Exactly.
Is there rot in the floors? Are you getting a better teak?
I bet it's real nice. If I had to guess, I'd say that it's probably really nice. Anyway, now let's do what we did in the Herschel Walker segment. We're gonna jump ahead to graphic 6 and talk about what we know of how this might be going. Oz's unfavorable rating is apparently 50%. 28% view him favorably, according to a Suffolk University USA Today Network poll from early June. Fetterman's unfavorable rating, by contrast, is 45-27. So he's over water, above water. How do they say that? Anyway, that same survey also showed Oz in up in a head-to-head race by 9 points. And you can see a direct screenshot from Real Clear Politics there. That was, I'm gonna say, 3 weeks ago. So it's shocking that in this day and age, we don't have every week or two polls in races that will determine the content of the Senate, the ability of a president to deliver on his agenda. We just sort of have to guess for a month at a time. But it's looking okay for Fetterman right there. And that, bear in mind, is with Fetterman having a long period of not really being able to campaign, physically and all that, because of his health problems and all that. Oz is really helping him out. And this is why a lot of the Republicans, at least in that state, it wasn't like with Herschel Walker. In Pennsylvania, there was a vigorous effort to not have Dr. Oz be the candidate, specifically because he's a massive demonstrable clown. And so it really might screw them over. Maybe not in both states, but it's looking like this is not going the way they want, Brett.
There was an amazing tweet by Fetterman. There was a headline that's like, can Fetterman S-post his way into a Senate seat? And the response from the campaign was something like, yes. Fetterman wore shorts in February to help people who are in trouble. I just like there's talking to Pennsylvanians. There's like there's nothing more Pennsylvanian than that. And counter that, put that up against freaking someone like Dr. Oz in his, fancy ass place where he has a real fireplace as opposed to this one I put on from YouTube.
Yeah. By the way, you were just fact checked. Brookmark says it was like we sure are trying.
Sure are trying. There you go.
But anyway, I want to give the final point to Groove Dragon, who responds to your earlier question saying there is rot in the House and in the Senate.
Oh,
I like it. Get him. Let's jump into our last story of this first hour. After literally months of badgering and mockery from me and others, Donald Trump did start to use Truth Social, finally. But that doesn't mean he's all that attached to it. In fact, he seems to be backing off in another sense. Donald Trump has apparently removed himself from the board of the social media company that manages it. Apparently, just weeks before the company was issued federal subpoenas by both the SEC, the Securities and Exchange Commission, and a grand jury in Manhattan. So the timing is at the very least certainly spicy. Now, this has been reported widely. That said, Truth Social wants to reassure you that he has not in any way backed off. In fact, they say, contrary to an exclusive fake news story filed by a reporter who is incapable of understanding state business records, Donald Trump remains on the board of Trump Media and Technology Group. In fact, the reporter acknowledges that Trump's title is chairman, but apparently has no clue what a chairman presides over. Hopefully this helps clarify things, except that it doesn't really, because according to the reporting by Insider, back on June 8th, there was a filing with the Florida Department of the State's Division of Corporations. Trump was removed from his position as chairman of the Trump Media and Technology Group. So I don't know, maybe you guys should talk to each other. You've got a social media network to do it on. Maybe you should figure out who your chairman actually is, because Trump doesn't think it's him. He left, his son Donald Trump Jr. left, other members of the board left as well. And why not? They're facing this investigation, both locally and federally. And maybe it'll come to nothing. It's an investigation of Trump and his family. Those often don't bear any fruit because he's wealthy and powerful. But anyway, Brett, it is interesting that at a time when he is at least finally using it on a fairly daily basis, he no longer wants to be involved in the leadership.
I'm not sure that's a big loss for Truth Social. I will say that Truth Social tweeting something that seems to be untrue is just exactly what I wanted for this. That's exactly what I wanted for the company when they announced it was happening. It's exactly what you assumed it would be. They just get to create their own reality separate from any negative feedback on the subject. Anyone contradicting to them, they didn't tweet that. No one's putting that out on Twitter. It can't be get a check mark for misinformation. This is Truth Social, where we decide what truth is, not reality.
Well, to be clear, you keep referring to it as Truth Social. It's Truth Central. Maybe that's why he had to leave. He tried for months to learn how to say its name and he just couldn't nail it. So they couldn't have him. That looks bad. Anyway, because they're denying that he stepped down, even though the records clearly say that he stepped down, people have gone to interesting lengths to really try to figure out if he's involved in the leadership. And so we're going to run through some of the evidence. So first of all, former California Congressman Devin Nunes is listed as the media company's CEO. That is still the truth. It's been that for some time. A businessman named Philip Juhan is the company's CFO. They're now the only two board members listed, both using the same Sarasota office address. It used to have other people. It doesn't anymore. A visit to the office by the Herald Tribune at the end of last month revealed that Trump's company name was not on the registry in the main lobby, nor was there any reference to the name at the office suite itself. There was no receptionist, just a note to ring the doorbell for assistance. And anyway, they put out a statement saying that they're going to comply with the subpoenas. It seems like they probably should, but this is shady enough to demand investigation, but also how could this possibly work to shield him from culpability? If they did something illegal and he leaves way after, I don't think that that'll work, but I'm worried that it might.
Yeah. This is just right up there with the ad on Reddit for Parler, where it's like, we're not for it's free speech. That's our vibe. But they disabled comments on the post.
Oh, I saw your post about that. That was nice. Okay, buddy. If you just saw on the podcast or the linear show, that's it for now. But there is more to come, so don't go anywhere.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.